Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd. I'm welcoming you to what I consider to be a fireside chat. And I think it's going to be a unique discussion tonight and something that I'm going to talk about anyway that I believe you need to hear. If you dial me in tonight, you definitely need to hear what's about to be said. So before I go deep into it, just if you could, just go in with a word of prayer with me. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God. We appreciate you, oh Lord. Father, we glorify you. Lord, it's with you that we are able to do the things that we need. And tonight, Father, like any other night, I need your presence, oh Lord, to be with me from the beginning to the end, Lord. God, this is your hour. You made me a part of this, Father. And I thank you, oh God, for welcoming me in, oh Lord. God, I pray, Lord, as I begin to open up your word that you speak, Father, from your heart to mine, spirit to spirit, Lord, and that I'm able to share with your people, oh God, the very thing that you desire for them in this hour. We bless you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you know, I had a very interesting Sunday morning. My cousin has a ministry that is called Feed My Sheep. And so the concept of it is that she serves breakfast to the community from 7:30 to 8, and people come in from all places. They eat breakfast, and then they filter over into the sanctuary, and they have a speaker speak to the people after they eat. And Sunday morning was the morning that she had asked me to come, and I tell you, I had went there to, as God had given me something, and kind of maneuvered differently with me. Because normally I would walk around the sanctuary of the place that he was sending me to. And I didn't get the opportunity to do that because I didn't, you know, I just didn't feel the Spirit of the Lord leading me that way. So what I had studied was Ezekiel 37, and I was going to talk about the dry bones, but address it from it's your time to get up. And as I was introduced to the podium, I stood up and God changed it like he do so many times. And with me dealing with the Tuesday nights of, you know, studying and the dialogue and in the context of the making of a leader, a book that is written by Frank DiMaggio, God led me in a different direction. And he led me to the book of Judges, chapter number 3. And I have an hour, and as you, if you're riding, many of you are riding, you're on your way home from work. Some of you have made it home. And if you could just join me in reading this. This is the third chapter in the book of Judges, and we're going to commence the reading, start reading, as you may, at verse number 12. So, and I, as I read this, I want to give you the topic that God gave me while I was standing there. And Judges chapter number 3, verse number 12. And again, this is to the leaders. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord straightened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse number 13. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So that the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Jerah, and a Benjaminite, and a man left-handed. And by him, the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarry that were by Gilgad and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. Verse number 20. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in the summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust into his belly. And he had also went in after the blade and sat close upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. And when he was gone out, it says his servants came, and when they had saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked. They said, surely he covered his feet in his summer chamber. And they had tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, opened the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their Lord had fallen down dead on the earth. I'm going to stop reading that. So I want to give you a little history of it as I walk through this, and hopefully this helps give you a very vivid understanding. And you can go ahead and read the rest of it, you know, now or as I talk, or however God should speak to you. But in this time, you know, I want to say that we are very consistent, or we have tendencies or proclivities in our daily walk, and I said this, you know, Sunday morning. So I'm gonna regurgitate some things for those that are on here that was there Sunday morning or listening to it. We have proclivities, tendencies, and in our tendencies, we do things the same way all the time, and so because we do that, it becomes a pattern for us, and that pattern may, in some cases, be good, and in some cases, that pattern could be bad. But this is things that we do, and we do constantly the same way. The disadvantage to doing something consistently the same way means that your movements can be predetermined. And that means that things that you normally do, someone is watching you can predetermine your every move. And then they can select weak points when they know your moves in order to strike or in order to attack you if they're looking at you that way. So what's interesting about this is that, you know, and I may mention again, you know, when I was in the military, one of the things that we had to do was we always studied the enemy. We would either, you know, be somewhere located out of town or in town, but we watched the movements of the enemy day and night, because people that you come up against have tendencies. They have things that they do just like you do on a consistent basis, in which you, if it's a certain time of the day, they can, you know, they can pretty much determine where you will be and what you will be doing, you know, certain times of the night, certain times of the weekend. And so this is how people break into homes, because they study the proclivities or the tendencies of people that they're watching. Now, again, I mentioned the military, but it also, as we watch the enemy, we know the enemy is watching us. You cannot go to sleep in life thinking that just because you're not experiencing some things that you don't have the tendencies that others do, and it may give you a false sense of security. But if someone is watching you, they're going to figure out or know what your next move is going to be. You know, God allowed me to mention that even in this month of September, that there are some tendencies, because we have family members with birthdays, we have tendencies, and someone can pretty much anticipate what we're going to do regarding someone's birthday. And now, again, this may sound like it's good, but when we do this spiritually, it's a problem. And I really want you all to hear me tonight. When we become consistent in our activities, when someone can predetermine what you're going to do, they are not studying your strong points. They are determining and trying to find your weak points so they can attack it. So, you know, this is no different from the virus. The virus that is out here now, it is not going to go after the strength of the body. It's going to find the weakness of the body, and it's going to attack it. Now, we have to now reevaluate where we are, because if you live by the sense of patterns, normalcy, consistent in some things, that is not always good. It is not always good. And the reason why I say that is because, someone can mimic your movements. Now, we'll go a little bit further. You know, and again, you're going to hear some of the same things I said Sunday morning. If the enemy can mimic your movements, he knows what time you go to church. He knows what the music sounds like in the church. He's aware of the standard that's been set in man's church. And in that now, he's developing a strategy to attack. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further. So that's the enemy. But God does it is somewhat consistently, you know, I'm going to say consistent because you just never know which way God going to come. You have no way of knowing how God is going to raise up a leader or a servant that leads people. I want to be clear about this. Now, I'm still talking about the making of a leader, and I want you to hear this. And now, what's interesting is when they know when you go to church, they know what time you, they know the car that you drive. Some women that's watching other women can anticipate a woman wearing a hat with a certain dress, or some heels with a certain dress, or slacks. They can anticipate, you know, it because they watch that person consistently, to when they almost want to mimic their movements. And I didn't get a chance to say this, but I want to tonight. Because in the mimicking of movements, it shows that we're not raising up servants that lead. We're raising up people that want to be served. Because we're doing things the same way. We in the church, the leaders, the lay members, however you want to address them as, are doing the same thing from a ritualistic perspective, and we want to make it about God, but it's really about us. I hope you all are gathering what I'm saying, because I'm really taking my time. And so, you know, as we begin to dissect our behavior, man, you know, if we look at really how we do things, we've convinced ourselves that everything we do is right until something happens and it goes wrong. And out of knowing what that wrong decision, wrong act, wrong deed, wrong words were, we want to quietly fix it or disappear. Now, I have to address the fact that whenever God strategizes, it does not make a whole lot of sense. But we have to obey whatever God has said. As men and women of God, it becomes our individual duty to hear from the Lord and move based upon what he has said. I really want you all to grab this, man. And so the interesting thought that I find in this rare moment right here is that our consistencies, you know, that we have determine now the character that we present. If we want to be known as folks that always do exactly what they say, then, you know, that's something we're working on with our character. If we're around people that afraid to say anything, then again, that same person, we're around those people as they work on their character. They find these defects in their consistencies, and they try to cover them up by doing something, one something the right way. That's interesting, isn't it? That one something they do the right way, and they become consistent about it. Now, you know, my father once told me that if a man or a woman can't hear from God, they can't obey God. And I use that as a segue into saying that even how we become consistent in a lot of things, if we're not listening to God, it becomes repetitious for us to do it, and there ain't no loving. There's just flat out no loving. And so when I endeavor to talk about this, God gave me the subject matter of gotta come another way. So now let me get into why I talked about your consistencies, your proclivities, or things you have a tendency to do on a consistent basis. Let's talk about that. Because some say that I'm going to be who I am, wherever I am, and that's good. You know, and if you're good, then they're looking for a good person. But what happens when they don't get that good person? What is the consistent behavior that you're going to display when something that you consistently do changes? That's something to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Dear hearts, this is so important. That I normally don't talk about messages after I preach. I leave them there because that's what God gave me. And I try to not let folks pump me up or pat me on the back and tell me what good message it was. I don't do none of that stuff. But how does this relate to the scripture that you read? The children of Israel have been placed in captivity because they had begun to do a whole bunch of craziness. They were putting the IL on evil. And so God recognizes this, and God raises up a man that's left-handed. He raises up a southpaw, somebody that does not use the right hand. He was looking for someone that had was looking for a person that did not have usage or could not or would not attack with their left hand. He wanted to be able to see that in the vision days around him. Now, what I love about this is how God raised up a man and his name was not important. Where he was from was not important. What he ate last night, the night before, was not important. You know, it's in those moments when God pulls us out of our regular place of business or where we work, do we begin to experience the Lord tell us how we should do things in a different manner. Y'all need to hear this tonight now. And so as the king began to deal with the fact that people wanted him dead, he kind of sheltered himself and didn't let a whole lot of people around him. So he wanted to watch the right-handed people. He needed to see how right-handed people acted. And so as God was raising up Ehud, as he was raising him up, no one knew what he was to do. Nobody. Nobody knew. And the thing about this that is so wonderful is that when God raises them up, there is no big eyes movie used. There are no, you know, fresh suits or, you know, none of that new stuff and none of that tangible stuff. There wasn't any of that. When God raises up this man, he did it secretly. He didn't do it out in the open. For all those people that are looking for elevations in front of other folks just to validate who they are, you might want to check and see if you heard from the Lord. Might just want to check now. Because it's vitally important that you not put out patterns of consistency, but ask God to navigate you so you can not do the same thing all the time. And really now, what I love about this story is that this man was raised up by God to go do something. And when he had the opportunity in verse number 20, he took the knife after the parlor doors were closed, and he thrust the knife into the king. It indicates that the fat from this man was so bad that it took in half of the handle on the knife and closed itself up. The only thing came out of him was dirt. Now, that's some interesting stuff right there. So he didn't have a chance to come back and testify like others do. You know, he just didn't have those opportunities like everyone else. But God raised him up, and he went to do the job. He presented the left hand to the king, and he killed the king and the children of Israel won. Now, my topic in this matter was that you have to come another way, because the king was expecting one thing, and the servant that God raised up did something differently. Now I can get into the reasons for me discussing this tonight. As leaders, we have become consistent in our movements. And I want to preface this first before I go any further. Let me preface this one thought. You know, and as I said to you, I really want you to grab a hold of it now. It's common and it's not anything profound. You know, so you have to understand that you are being watched. How you do things is letting the enemy know how or when you're going to reach a weak point and they can attack. Y'all need to hear me now. Because God knew the weak point of the king. And so he prepared the soldiers that would come kill the king you know, to operate in a manner that would be deceptive to the king, because God was getting ready to free his people. And he was going to use Ehud to get that done. Now listen now. Critically important. We talked about God raising you up. Let me go out a little bit more. God is going to raise, God has already raised up some people and will continue to raise up others that do not fit the criteria of leadership that we have in our books. If you're looking for an apostle, you will walk right by him. If you think he's a prophet, then you won't bother to speak your heart. If you think he's an evangelist, she's not going to sit still long enough to hear what's going on with you. If you're a pastor or a teacher, you have issues with the place where you are right now. You know? And so when God looks at that, he's not interested in the one that looks the part, that look like they can preach, sound like they can sing, sound like they can pray, looks like he's a big giver. All of these things amount to nothing until you can get into the presence of the Lord. I'm stressing this now, because there are major points within this scripture from chapter 3 of the book of Judges, from 12 to the last verse. I want you to see how a king is protecting himself, because even in his anxiety, he don't want right-handed people around him. He don't want to have anything to do with the norm of people. He wants to try to bring something extra. Y'all need to hear me tonight. Whew, it's getting rough when we as leaders have created this mundane. We start service at 11 o'clock. These people reading. These folks ready to sing worship songs. And then we're going to get the pastor up, and then he's going to direct us through the offering. I've seen it a whole lot of different other ways. But if you're hearing my point, I really want you to listen to me. You know, the enemy knows when you go to church. It knows your first and last name. It knows somewhat of your strategy, because you're going to release it. You're going to say something. And anytime you give away all of this information that God never gave you permission to give out, you put yourself in a dangerous position. Y'all need to hear me now. The greatest principle in this particular passage of reading is about how the ears of the men and women of God are opened. And their ears are open that they may hear from the Lord, that they can receive instructions from God. What is happening today has been going on for years. It just didn't show up today. Pandemic didn't have anything to do with it, you know. But pastors have created their own doctrine. They created their own way to Christ, and they want you to do it their way. And, you know, and some say that they're doing it based upon the word of the Lord, but they can't show me anywhere where the Lord had stressed that. But at any event, their whole purpose right now, as they go about their daily activity, is to watch what you are doing. You know, so don't think now, because God raised somebody up, that the enemy doesn't know that you're coming. He has no idea that you're on the way. That will confuse him, because you should not be able to do the things that you are doing. And so again, my topic was got to come another way. The king was fearful of his life and ended up losing it. Are you just as afraid of yours as a leader? Are you? Think about it. Has God said anything to you? Because church is still usual as it was. People give less money than they did before because they're trying to live. They're trying to survive. They get less money than they did before. Knowing that now and appreciating that has to come from someone that they can speak to or talk to. They have to be able to share something. And so, again, I'm slow walking through this because I have the time. But the essence of this issue doesn't necessarily deal with God raising up the enemy to kill the king so the children of Israel can win the war. I want to bring you back up to the 21st century and how God is speaking to somebody on this phone tonight in reference to doing something different, whether it be in ministry, whatever you may be doing, he's asking you to do it a different way that hasn't been proven to you yet. But if you trust the Lord, he's going to take you in another direction. He's going to take you into another direction. And he has to hide. He can't tell you. He has to hide his hand. I know that's interesting. I know it sounds kind of way off and things of that nature. But if you stand back for a little bit, the enemy can pretty much tell when you leave your house. He's watching you. You're not watching him. The enemy has us going to church at the same time. Pretty much standard 10, 11 o'clock, somewhere around there, you're going to be in church. Pretty much a standard. That after Sunday in the month of September, you're probably going to find something to drink, something to nibble on, but you're going to raise your seat up so you can watch the game. I hope you all are listening to me tonight, because the king didn't see which way that Ehud was coming. The devil shouldn't see you coming as well. And this very night, you have to be willing for God to speak into your heart and that you would come another way. I hope you hear me tonight, dear hearts, because this is crucial. This is vital. You have to hear from the Lord. Above all things that you endeavor to do, if you don't get a chance to do it, at least you did something to obey God. As great as he is, he waits for that moment to where you call. This is interesting tonight, because in some marriages, one thinks they're about to carry the load, but they can't. And the other tries, but with no help. And the marriage is later destroyed because one person or two people didn't understand the dynamics of why you're married. That's my interesting take. It is needful in this hour that we not push away God's hand, that he may shape and mold us, that we can show him how much we love him. Loving Jesus is powerful. And I just adore the fact that, you know, God can raise up anybody and put them in a position to do great things. That person just has to understand that all this belongs to God. Solomon, you know, all of these stuff, these things, it belongs to God. Earth and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So I want to really kind of walk slowly through this. And as you go back and read it, you know, what's more powerful than anything is the fact that God is telling me that the body of Christ is walking slowly in a dangerous area. Think about it. And as you think in reference to her, think or him, think about, or yourself, think about the other people that love you. Think about them. Because you're gonna run into them Sunday, and your tendencies of how you do things has to be different. If it's business, you need to change your patterns. If it's football practice, change your patterns. If it's coaching, change your patterns. If it's going to the building we call church, change your patterns. Don't continue to do the same thing expecting something different to happen. That's insane. Do not anticipate doing anything. Start asking God for those places, and he will give them to you. And I hope I didn't sound like I was rambling tonight. The essence of it is that there's a strategic move that's about to happen, and God did not make this move privileged to the devil. Because the devil couldn't do anything to stop it. He wants us to believe in him. And the things he has said, obviously the things that he's done. Dear hearts, I'm not concerned about you reading the Bible and telling me Paul's story and what Peter wrote and how Peter was feeling. Not interested in that at all. My biggest interest coming to you all, and that I would want to share that with you, is that you find out what God is doing in this hour. Whatever that different thing is that you have to do to break up the mundane, monotonous stuff that you go through walking to the job, break it up. Do something different. You know, my ex-wife sent me something to read this morning, and I'm really grateful and appreciative that she did that, because my desire is to be a true man of God and a great husband. My desire is to be a true man of God and a great husband. And I believe by the help of the Lord, I can do both. Be a true man of God. A true man of God. And a great husband. And in order for me to get there to do that, I have to change my pattern. I have to. Can't keep doing the same thing, expecting something different to happen. And if we be real with ourselves, we found comfort in doing the norm. There's the things outside the norm that we wrestle with. Those are the things we have problems with outside the norm, but you're going to have to switch it up. When I say switch it up, you're going to have to switch it up from sundown to sunrise. Switch it up. Switch up everything that you would do that would reveal where you're going. Think about it. Regardless of who you are when you get out of college, you'll see people doing some crazy stuff. And if you're a little older than them, you might want to give them wisdom. The greatest wisdom you can give any man is just to love him. But when you have something that comes from the mouth of God, you want to be able to say, Lord, use me. That don't happen overnight. Just doesn't. I want you to take the opportunity and read that story of Judges chapter 3 through verse number 31. It really touched my heart to see someone different fighting that battle. I feel something different. Allowing God to speak to me and different things happen. I'm just that man that believes God. And if we don't make changes, dear heart, if we don't stop what we're doing and find out what God wants, we are wasting our time. We have to break up what we're doing and do things in a different, yet still excellent manner. But we're going to have to make some changes. As leaders, people are watching us. And not all people are watching us, as I said before, are your friends. They're not. As leaders, as servants, we have to first look in the mirror and find out, what would I normally do in this time? How would I normally do this? And they may have the answers, but you know, you still have to inquire. Be sure that you change up your movement. Be sure that you're not going out here the same way you're talking to people about God and making God unattainable and unreachable. Be responsible for what you say. Take this for what it is. This is God saying, I will deal with this, but I'm not dealing with that. You don't know what God's going to do, dear hearts. You have no idea. I wish I could tell you. I wish there was a crystal ball. No, I don't own these crystal balls. I wish there was some way that I could just, you know, give you comfort to know what God is getting ready to do. And I just can't. I can't tell you what God is getting ready to do. Can tell you is that go another way. Both of you all decide to leave and, you know, be it your husband and your wife or first lady and pastor or ministers or whatever you are as a team. You know, sometimes you have to do things under the radar where people cannot watch what your consistent behavior looks like. That's interesting, ain't it? I believe God is raising up some people to defeat the enemy, and he's just not letting anybody know who they are. I really do believe that. And I think as God get closer to those moments, he's going to release those people back out of you to give presence to the end. Very difficult subject, because this makes you look in the mirror
And when you've never heard from the Lord about anything, you thought maybe just going to church is going to make it all right. It doesn't. Those are your tendencies. Those are the things you normally do. And those patterns have not changed. Well, dear heart, I didn't really need the whole hour. I want to encourage you to come back. If you haven't gotten the book, get the book, The Making of a Leader. I'm going to really jump in next week in chapter number 3 because I want you to grab a hold to the gifts. I need for you to understand the gifts. And you know, partially, you know, some of the gifts are linked to other things. And you need to be able to see those. I cannot teach you how to activate your gift. Can't do that. That's spiritual. And God deals with us so differently. And if we really understand it, we won't approach it with the same hat on, with the same head. We'll ask the Lord to navigate these waters for us. And soon as we can do that, I believe that we're going to see something great happen. I do believe that. Well, I'm going to go into a word of prayer as we end this. I got hundreds of people calling me, and I've asked them to call me after 8 o'clock. But I really come to an end on this. You know, and if you could, pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God, Father, we appreciate you. God, I'm asking that you be with those that are traveling on the road, and Father, that you be with us that are at home or leaving or going to the job or coming from. Father, it's time for us, oh Lord, as you have instructed me to come another way. Stop doing things the way that we normally do them, because the enemy is watching and we're not watching the enemy. So, God, we pray, Lord, that you speak into our hearts when you see these situations happening, and that we will have the opportunity, oh God, to follow your instructions and be victorious at the end. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, God bless you again. I know I'm ending early. You know, I don't know if the call went in and out or anything of that nature. A lot of people calling, and they just seem to continue to send messages or whatnot. But, you know, we just want to thank God for you and appreciate you. Definitely, if you have not gotten the book, you know, The Making of a Leader, Frank DiMaggio, please order the book. Next Tuesday, we diving right back into the book. I want you to understand I'm not here to castrate leaders or drag leaders down. I just want you to see some things so God can speak to you. If it is your call, if it's your time for God to use you, I don't have a timetable for you. I can't determine why he called you or if he didn't. All of these are given by the Lord. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you be blessed. Look forward to hearing or seeing you next week. Again, come another way. God bless you.